Welcome to the True Blue Riffcast with your hosts, Jeremy and Dave. My name is Christine DeBell, but many of you know me as Susan from A Talking Cat. And as you know, I have to go and get my cheese puffs out of the oven. So have a great time with Jeremy and Dave. See you soon.
Thanks, Christine. This is the True Blue Riffcast, the number one Riff Tracks podcast in the world. I am Jeremy, and I am joined, as always, by...
What's up? It's me, Dave, just barely turning the mute off just in time for the intro, because I was in the Discord, and I didn't have the link to Jeremy's Twitch, where we stream this, twitch.tv/PBNAwesome, or PB and Awesome, I don't know, I get it screwed up a lot.
PB and Awesome.
PB and Awesome on Twitch, yeah, okay, so I just had to... Did that, and I didn't think I was going to make it back in time, but I did it just barely. Like, right when you said, like, I'm here as always, bye, I was like, unmute, here I am.
Yay!
So, that was definitely the most exciting thing that's happened to me in the last week.
Oh, you want to talk about things happening to people? Today was not a great day at work today.
Uh-oh.
So...
hold on, hey, I got to ask. I gotta ask, at work, did somebody maybe have let a rat gnaw a hole into the back of your sister's blouse? And this just made you so mad that you just had to smack the shit out of her. Did that happen at work?
No.
Your job's not like that?
No.
Okay. All right.
And it wasn't anything like people doing gross things in the theater today. That was over the weekend. But because, of course, you know, it always happens when I'm there. But today, let's see. First, I forgot my key card that lets me into the building and into the manager's office and stuff like that. And so my wife had to run home and bring it to me. I had my nice big mug full of coffee. And when she came back, she was like, "Hey, do you want me to take that for you?" And I said, "No, it's still about half full." And as I said that, I was picking it up to move it on to a different part of the desk.
Oh, dear, this is bad.
I hit the chair behind the desk, knocked the mug out of my hand. Coffee went everywhere. It went all over the desk at the manager's station, all over the floor. I got it on the like the password notebook that everybody uses and on our stack of sheets where we have all the schedules written out and everything like that. It was just a mess. And then I had to go do some hot food orders because we do like pizzas and stuff like that.
Hot food. Is that like hot takes?
No. It's a little bit better than hot takes. But I had to make a couple pizzas.
I'm trying to be up with Gen Z.
Yeah.
Saying hot takes.
And
sus and cringe.
Sus and cringe. And the first pizza I put in there, it was in there for about 4 minutes. They usually take about 10 minutes to cook. And I had to make another pizza. I got that one in the oven. When I put that one in the oven, the other one was already burning. Like, I don't even know how that happened because it was only in there for 4 minutes. And the oven was at the normal temperature. It wasn't, like, running hot or anything. So I had to pull that one out and throw it away because I couldn't finish baking it the rest of the way because it would have totally burned to a crisp. And the inside was still raw. So somehow it burnt and was raw at the same time. So then I had to remake that. And then I was making something else and I tipped it over and spilled half of it on the floor. And it was just, today was just a wreck. And then on the way home when I left, I started getting a migraine. Thankfully, I took some meds right away and got on top of it, and it never took hold. I was able to fight it off, but it just was not a fun day today at all.
Yeah, that's
but no, bad. No rats chewing holes and shirts and
your sister's blouse.
People.
Your
yeah.
sister's blouse, yeah, and smacking the crap out of your sister for literally no reason. I could tell an Uber story if you want.
Yeah, go for it. If you got something, I was gonna ask.
So, or a ride share, because I don't want to violate the terms of service for the ride share app that I use to make all of my money, because you know being a writer man doesn't pay very much. I as many people who listen to this podcast know. I use a rideshare app that rhymes with Goober. Okay, so I picked this guy up in Salt Lake, and it's a high paying ride. Because I was trying to get back to Ogden, and they let you like route get rides that'll take you in like that direction. And this ride wasn't taking me to Ogden specifically. It was taking me to the other side of the mountain, the Ogden, to a place called Huntsville, which is where the Osmonds are from. It's very ski-ish kind of place. Lots of people. It's like Park City, only it's not overrun with asshole jaywalkers all the time.
Okay.
It takes me up, like, so I pick him up. Well, first of all, the guy is late and he's eating stuff and he left a bunch of garbage in my car.
That's always fun.
And it doesn't take us up straight up 15 to 12th Street and then a straight shot down into the canyon, which is how I would have gone. But it takes us up over the mountain, not through the canyon in between mountains, but over the mountain, over this little road we call Trapper's Loop, which just takes you right over the top of the mountain and down into the valley, which is fine, except for it was whiteout conditions. Ooh. And I've already accepted the ride, and this guy's just sleeping in the back. He's like, right? So I was
well,
like,
white. So of course he needs a nap.
Yes. So I'm just like white knuckling it over this mountain. If you have it, because I was right here when it was going on. So after we get over the mountain in this freaking blizzard, I was like, okay, well, the worst part of the drive is over. No. What happened next is that, okay, so we're getting closer, and I'm like, this is taking me to some weird space, to some very strange place. And I turn onto this road that I know takes me out into the middle of nowhere. Takes me out to this place called Monte Cristo, which is just like up in the mountains.
I like their sandwiches.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh man, we're halfway to Monte Cristo, and it's taking me down another road. On the road to Monte Cristo, I would take a right, and it just takes me like straight up the mountain. And I was like, great. And so the snow is just coming down and coming down and coming down. And it's on, we get onto this recently plowed street where like you can tell it's been recently plowed, but like not since like the snow started snowing again. So it's just like, you know, very, very, very not safe and fun to be on. We just keep going up until like we get to this, to the point, and it's a house, and I pull up and I was like, okay, this is it. He's like, oh, this isn't it. I was like, what the hell are you talking about? This isn't it. He's like, it's some sanctuary. Can you just drive up the road a little bit more? And I'm like, whatever, fine. So I take him up, and it's only about, you know, I would say another length of a football field to where we get to a gate. We get to like this parking area that's just like totally not plowed at all. And it's to sanctuary up on the mountain. And the gate is like once you get past the gate, it is not plowed at all. There is like 3 or 4 inches of freshly fallen mountain snow. He's like, yeah, just go straight up here. And I was like, nope. This is the end of the line. And he's like, oh, but I need to go up there. And I was like, your thing was back there, buddy. Like, I'm not like, I don't, he's like, well, I'm, he's like, well, I got to go up there for work. And I was like, look, I can take you back down to the Chevron that's down in Huntsville, and you can call your people, have them come get you. But I am not taking this car and up this mountain for God knows how much further, because guess what? People get stranded and die on this mountain. There is no help for us. We are in the middle of nowhere. And then he starts arguing with me, and I was like, okay, look, we'll wait for your people, because it's just pouring down snow in this like parking lot.
Yeah.
And there's like nothing for us there. Like nothing. And I was like, okay. And he wants me to wait with him. And I was like, no, we are not waiting.
I mean, he doesn't want to freeze. I at least understand that.
Yeah. Okay. I get that. I'm not going to leave him there.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going to stay there and allow my car to get snowed in into a place where, And I was just like, look, we can go the 2 miles back into Huntsville, and I can drop you off at the Chevron. Either way, I'm not going up that road. There is absolutely no way that's going to happen. And so he starts throwing a fit, and his friend comes up. His friend's supposed to see us, but his friend just like goes by and just like plows like up this road. And he's like, wait. And I was like, sorry, man. Like we're going back to the Chevron. You can figure something out down there, because this is already 20 minutes past to when I was supposed to drop you off.
Yeah.
And then we see a plow truck just happen by, and he like waves him down. He's like, hey. The thing is, he got on the phone with his friend, and he was like, my Uber driver's tripping. Yeah, he's scared. And I'm like, screw you.
You're tripping, dog.
Yeah, you're tripping. I was like, dude, I don't think you understand the danger we're in. Like, obviously you brought us out into the middle of nowhere in the middle of a snowstorm, and you want me to take you up an unplowed road up a mountain? No. Absolutely not. So anyway, I got him out of the car, but I think that's probably like a top three worst ride I've done. Like,
that doesn't sound
like
a lot of fun for anybody involved.
No.
Oh man. Yeah, I'm glad I don't do that.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, it's usually
why aren't you driving?
Exactly. The thing is, it's usually not that bad, but sometimes you'll get people like that who, like, you know, I like it. It's still my favorite job since I left the Army.
Yeah.
Definitely beats the post office and definitely beats, you know, a lot of the other alternatives.
Yes.
So that's us complaining about work. We don't just do it in Discord anymore. We do it on the podcast.
Yay. The true blue, I don't know what we would call that. Vent cast. True blue work cast.
Really hot.
Well, let's move along from making people feel bad for us, and let's take a look at the weekend box office.
Woo!
Number one movie, not Madam Web. Surprise, surprise. Bob Marley, One Love, was the number one movie, raking in just over $33.5 million. Madam Web was, however, in second place. Argyle sitting at third, Migration at fourth, and Wonka at fifth. I don't understand how Wonka is even still in the theaters. It's been out for 10 weeks now. And
isn't it on home media?
Yes, it's you can watch it at home. Or it comes out on Blu-ray in 7 days. So Oliver says he saw the Bob Marley movie last night, and it was pretty good. Yes, that's true. There are no new kids movies yet, so I guess that's why those are still going. I mean, we talked about Madam Web last week. I don't think we need to.
Just like the phenomenon itself.
People are watching it because of how bad it is. They're watching it for the memes at this point.
I think I'm going to have to put eyeballs on this. I think based on everything, I just want to say that. I know I teased it last week, but I think I actually have to see it. I think, you know, for someone like me to not see this, I think would be a shame.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to watch it at the theater or if I'm just going to wait till I can watch it at home. I mean, either way, if I watch it at theater, I don't have to pay for it, at least.
Oliver, Lang, I think Riff Tracks is definitely going to do this. I think if they don't do it, if I had to put money on it, I think they'd probably do this as a Just the Jokes Kickstarter.
Kickstarter reward. Yeah, maybe. I mean, that should be right around the corner. Because it was right around this time last year when we got
Rad, and
when we got the announcement for Rad, it was on the 22nd, today's the 20th, so I would expect it anytime now, really, we could get it. And that kind of brings me to the next thing that I want to talk about. And that's a lot of people, you know, they like to throw around guesses this time of year at what we might potentially get or just talk about what we would like to see. And so here's my ultimate wish list for Riff Tracks Live. Riff Tracks in general, but Riff Tracks Live. These are in no particular order. I have three that I would absolutely love to see on the big screen. The first one is one that we've talked about anytime this comes up about, you know, wish list for what we want to see from Riff Tracks. This one's always up there from a lot of people, not just myself, but Masters of the Universe. Everybody kind of wants that. Oh, actually, you know what? I just thought of the fourth one. This was one that was bandied in the Discord. That is, of course, No Holds Barred, the classic cocaine-fueled Hulk Hogan movie from WWF way back in the day. I think that
would be a lot
of fun. Yes.
Myself and Edgy Berserker riffed that movie back in the SRD movie night days.
Nice. The next one is another one that I've mentioned before. This one was, I actually posted an article about it on my old blog that I haven't updated in forever. And the other two movies that I mentioned in this one have since been riffed. The first of those being No Retreat, No Surrender. The second one being Rad. And this one is The Dungeon Master, also known as Rage War. It's a short It's not really short. I mean, it's a bunch of different stories all having to do with the same character being, like, sent through these different scenarios through time and space. And it was produced by Charles Band, and one of the segments was directed by Charles Band, and I would love to see that one done. It has Richard Mall playing the devil.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that like an anthology movie?
Yeah, it's kind of like an anthology, but it's all the same character just getting stuck in different scenarios.
Kind of like Hawk the Slayer.
Yeah, kind of. And then, of course, the last one that I gotta hope for. Can you guess what it is, Dave?
Is it Ghost House?
No. No, this would be a new movie.
Oh, a new one. Oh, yet.
That we've talked about extensively on the podcast.
Dude, do you know how many movies we've talked about on this podcast? Is this like a candidate for Riff Tracks Live that we've talked about it in that context?
I'm sure we have. Oliver says he knows what it is.
I'll feel pretty dumb, but like I don't know what it could be. It could be anything.
There's a lot that it could be, yes. But Haunted Ween, Dave.
Haunted Ween. Well, they're not gonna do that live.
I know they're not going to, but this is why this is my ultimate wish list. Like,
it's stuff
that I would love to see that probably none of it's ever gonna happen in the capacity of a live show. But that's what I would like to see. But I honestly have no idea what they're gonna pick. There's nothing.
I don't know what they're gonna do either.
Oh, Oliver, definitely not Birdemic 2 ever.
Maybe
I know
Birdemic
they wouldn't
3.
Do Birdemic 2. They might do. I would Birdemic take like a Just the Jokes of Birdemic 3. That one
I
was
would take that as well.
A little more serious, I guess, is the right. Like,
come on! I mean,
in comparison to Birdemic 2, where he really tried to embrace the bad on purpose.
Three is just uncut. And when?
Yeah.
Just uncut Jimmy Noodles.
But it's not
that guy.
It's not as crazy as Birdemic 2. It's still crazy because it's James Wan, but
I was about to say I don't know.
Just not as crazy as Birdemic 2. Birdemic 3 is out. Yes, Citizen Yarn. We actually did an entire episode where we discussed that movie.
We talked about that for 2 hours.
I would highly suggest listening to that episode.
What's it called? That's called Global Wabu. Because
Wabu Wabu, yes, because global warming.
Wabu.
Climate change, global warming.
I can send you a link. Citizen Yarn, remind me after the podcast or tomorrow to see if I can find a link for you, and I'll send you one.
We'll post it in the Discord.
It's pretty good.
I'm not gonna bother with what the hell James Wan is doing because he hasn't really posted anything, other than some bad AI art for Plan B, the bunker or whatever the hell he's calling the sequel to Climate Fix. but it is time for Dave That Riff.
All right,
and so, I'm following the format. Okay.
Oh yeah,
from last week that Dave used for mine.
Versus battle.
All right, Dave.
All right, I'm in the dock. Now, Jeremy warned me about this earlier that I might get my ass kicked. So I've been riding high on my own petard in this game for much too long, apparently. So it's time for me to get my comeuppance.
Yeah. So I told him a couple of these might be easy, but the rest of them are probably going to be coin flips for Dave.
Okay.
But I don't know. He might surprise us like he did when he got the answer first out of the gate on the last time.
Right out of the gate.
All right. So this one is going to be between Suburban Sasquatch.
Oh.
And Feeders. Two movies that have a lot in common. he's not too happy.
Great. Oh my God. All right. Okay. Let's do it. You're ready for the bloodbath, everybody.
All right. So the first one, I'm going to throw a gimme out right away.
Okay. Good.
Okay. The first one is Fear My Giant Collapsed Areolas.
Well, of course, that is Suburban Sasquatch.
That is Suburban Sasquatch, yes. Of course it is. Like I said, I had to get at least one in there that's pretty easy for you.
So I won't go like complete, like I won't go zero.
Yeah, you won't go zero for six,
right?
I did six.
Six. Six is the number for this format.
Yes. All right. Let's see. Which one next?
Okay.
There's something out here watching me. Didn't you hear it? And then the riff is, yeah, didn't you hear it watching him?
That's Feeders.
That is Feeders. Good job. Two for two so far.
Yeah.
All right. This other one, this is the other one that I think might you should be able to get pretty easily.
Okay.
His blood sounds like an old modem.
Okay, I'm not sure. I don't remember that, but it's pretty funny. So I'm going to say Suburban Sasquatch.
Suburban Sasquatch. That is correct. All right. So you're three for three so far. Not
three
too
for
bad.
Three. So I at least half.
Yeah.
If I get one more right, I can leave this with my head held high.
There you go. Free foot? Cool. Whoa, free hand, too.
Feeders.
That is Suburban Sasquatch.
Dang it. It's okay. It's all right.
Yeah. Here we go. Microsoft Paint took a bite out of the corpse.
I'm going to say that's Suburban Sasquatch.
That is Feeders.
Damn it.
Ugh. I told you some of these are going to be coin flips.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah.
This one... This is the last one, Dave. This is for you to get above 50%.
Okay.
All right. Okay, I know this is a digital video file, but I still feel the strange urge to adjust the VCR tracking.
Okay. Let me tell you my thinking on this. Feeders looks like ass. But so does Suburban Sasquatch. But Feeders actually does look like it was shot with a VCR. Not a camera, but an actual VCR. On videotape. But that sounds like it could be Suburban Sasquatch, too. So I don't know. My gut... You know what? For some reason, I think it's Suburban Sasquatch.
That was
Feeders. I'm going with that.
That was Feeders.
Oh, I hedged my bets, and
yep.
I lost.
You were on the right track there. I thought you were going to get it when you were talking about how it looked like it was filmed on an actual VCR.
I should have gone with my first instinct. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
50%.
It's just a game.
You know, three out of six. Not bad. Not bad.
Yes. Yes. F's in the chat for Dave. Dave just got murdered.
Oh.
Wow. So that was Dave that riff, everybody. That's the worst I've done in a long time.
That's the worst that you've done.
Like, yeah.
Just period.
Yeah,
that's the worst.
Yeah.
Now you have to watch Copper Mountain in the style, like a Clockwork Orange. The thing's holding your eyes open.
Yes. Yes.
You can't look away.
Look away from Copper Mountain. Isn't that what with Copper Mountain? I mean, yeah, it does look terrible, but I mean, you know, if I could look at it without kind of like seeing it. Without the sound, the way I would watch Scrambled Skinamax when I was like 15, the sound turned all the way down. If I could do that, I could probably stomach that Copper Mountain. And they, you know, I don't know where I'm going with this bit. Anyway, abort, abort.
Oh man! Well, we can jump right into our riff if you want.
Yeah. I mean, we're not. That's why we're here.
Yeah. Today we are discussing. Well, it was chosen in the Discord. Very heavily favored in the Discord. And that was
you wanted to talk about Double Dragon for some reason.
I did want to talk about Double Dragon just because it's been a long time since I've watched that one, and I wanted an excuse to watch it again. Not that I really need one, but
yeah.
So we are going to be discussing Attack of the Super Monsters. We did mention this last week or the week before that we wanted to talk about this one soon. Anyway. So it's fine. It worked out.
I could have sworn we talked about this when it came out.
No, we talked about it only in context of our best of for that year. Because
really?
It came out. This was the last release. It was right after Christmas.
Yes.
They snuck it in right before the end of the year. And, boy, and, it was a wonderful surprise that we got to talk about a little bit.
Yeah, because... It is, dude, it is S-tier riff tracks. Like, I was watching it again today, and I was like, this is like, it was like, what, 2019, right? 2019 or 2020?
It was the same year that The Visitor came out, because it took second place only to The Visitor.
So it's 2019, and I think I can think of two other riffs that did this that came in late December, and just kind of like scrambled up, like at least, and one of them predates the podcast. The other, the other one that happened during the lifetime of the podcast after this was, of course, Dancing It's On.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, and the other one happened in 2015 with I Believe in Santa Claus. So there are occasionally like these post-Christmas releases, like right before the end of the year, that just like, where has this been all year?
Yeah.
So
Attack of the Super Monsters was adapted from a show called Dinosaur Great War Eisenborg, which is half anime and half tokusatsu, which is Man in Suit. It basically translates into like special effects. Yeah, it's, you know, like Godzilla Man in Suit, you know, we had the dinosaurs and the puppets and like the little toys of the ships and everything. And then
Kaiju,
the
Power Ranger nonsense.
Yeah, and then the weird anime, which of course doesn't make any sense because this was the first four episodes of this anime. That ran for a total of 39 episodes that they smooshed together into a movie. It's not the first time they've done it. It's not even the first time that they've riffed something like this, other than the fact that it's anime instead of just a Japanese TV show.
Well, the other thing I can think of that they've riffed that's like this, where it's like two or like episodes of like a television show crammed together, is very famously, of course, from Mystery Science Theater 3000, Riding with Death, where you look at these two episodes and just like, this is very clearly not the same story.
Right.
There
were a few others, I think. What was it? Mighty Joe or something was one of them. Whatever the title for that one was back in the MST days. I'm sure somebody in chat will chime in with the actual title of that. Ah, yes, Mighty Jack, that's what it was. And Time of the Apes and Master Ninja.
Apes.
Right, I forgot about Master Ninja, too. Yeah, those were all smooshed together TV series that they made movies out of and then released them in the United States. So this one is about dinosaurs that have come back after millions of years to attack and take over the Earth, except now they're super monsters. And they're led by Tyrannus, which is just a really big T-Rex, who sounds a lot like Goldar, even though it's
Goldar,
not.
I think it is. I, it's not because...
No, I did
I remember
look at
having this discussion.
I don't think it's the same
person. We debated
whether
or not it was Goldar.
Unless I looked at the wrong thing. I don't know. Now, in this, the two, I guess, main characters are Jim and Jem.
Jim and Jem, they're brother and sister.
Yeah, in the Japanese, they're I and Zen, and they're cyborgs, hence the name Eisenborg.
What?
Yes, that's where they pulled the name from, because it's I and Zen, and then cyborg, so Eisenborg. In the original show, they were testing out the super tank thing that they drive and sometimes fly around. And there was an explosion, and they both almost died, and they had to have their bodies rebuilt as cyborgs. That's why they have this ability to merge together for 3.5 minutes or whatever the arbitrary time that they put on them.
But they Jeremy, how do they merge together physically, emotionally, and spiritually? Right?
Yes, It's all three.
Like all three. Like, I don't know how that works.
Because they were like, wait, spiritually?
Yeah, no, like, I was listening because, like, I actually downloaded the new Riff Tracks app because I had it on in the car in between rides because I had a very busy day. So I was just, like, had it on just to, like, refresh my memory in between rides. And when they said spiritually, Kevin says spiritually, we said it at the exact same time, the exact same way. Spiritually? Like, what? But so yeah, they merge together, and Jem has a gear in her boob, and Jim has some other stuff going on the other side of his body, and they form Gemini now to fight the dinosaurs, and I think, like, isn't there like, okay, so correct me if I'm wrong, the dinosaurs' major power, other than, you know, just going and, like, you know, destroying cities Godzilla style,
yeah,
is that for some reason, like, they just came back. Like, mankind was amazed and terrified that dinosaurs are back.
Yes.
Like, it was never explained how dinosaurs came back. But their main mode of their main mechanism of attack against humanity is taking control of other animals, turning them red and having them attack. Because in that first little story, it was like they were like red dogs, and
yeah,
it was the Tyranno
Man dogs.
Yeah, and in the second one, it was Pterodactyl Man,
yep,
and his possessed bats. And in the third one, which is my favorite one, I can't wait to get to talk about that one in depth. It's the rats that are controlled by a stegosaurus that lives in the ground. And the fourth one, I don't think that they took possession of any animals. It's just about those two freaks and, like, their home life or something. Like,
yeah, well, there was that. And then, they fought, the T-Rex and, like, a Triceratops.
Yeah.
Type.
Yeah, they fought I think they fought like a different T-Rex. It's very strange.
Yeah.
It wasn't
Tyrannus.
It was a different T-Rex, yeah.
And then they also have two helpers, I guess.
Yeah.
There's supposed to be other, like, soldiers or whatever, Jerry and Wally. And they are two of the most bumbling sidekicks.
They're so unlikable. I think it's supposed to be funny, but it's just repulsive.
Yeah.
Like, not for nothing. I kind of got in trouble on Twitter a little bit earlier this week for saying some things against some people's creative output or perceived creative output. But I'm going to risk it again by saying that the art in this show is absolutely terrible. Like, it is garbage animation. And I think that the drawings of these two guys are the most hideous I've ever seen in animation in my life. And I've watched I've watched Rocky and Bullwinkle. I've watched like all kinds of just really, really ugly, lazy crap. I think this might be the worst.
I mean, back, because this aired 1977 to 1978 over in Japan, and there were definitely other anime from that time that looked better. There was older anime from that time. Obviously not. If it's older, you idiot. Older anime that looked better than this. They must not have had budget for the animation after they used all of it for the practical effects that they had.
But I mean, look, it's worse than Hanna-Barbera, like the most garbage Hanna-Barbera thing you can imagine. It is worse than that.
All right, here you go, Dave. Worse animation. This or The Little Mermaid?
Oh, this. 100% this.
At least The Little Mermaid had some good character designs. Like the whole Sea Witch Manta Ray thing.
I was just
was
about
really
to
good.
Say that. Yeah.
So the first episode, we get the red dogs, that the domesticated dogs that get taken over by Tyrannus, and they're like attacking people, and Dr. John Carmody, the dude with the Hitler stash, sends out Jim and Jem Starbuck and Jerry and Wally to go try and stop these crazy dogs from killing people, and they end up they like put the dogs to sleep, not like they put them to sleep like euthanizing, they knock them out. That's what I was looking for. Not put them to sleep. I realized that's the wrong way to say that. They knock out the dogs, and when they regain consciousness, they're just magically normal domesticated animals again. I mean, they started with like wolves or whatever, and they went in and they like bit the normal dogs and turned them evil and red.
Yeah. Full stop.
Welcome to live broadcasting, folks.
So the thing is that there's very little to connect, like, these weird animal attacks, that they possess these animals. Like, why do they need to do that? Why don't they just go smash everything? I mean, they seem to really like it.
I don't know.
What is I don't get it. So
the dinosaur Tyrannus just wants to kill all of the people on Earth. That's it. He just wants
to kill
everybody.
I get it. I get that. But the dogs. Why? Well,
because he possessed them with that same desire, I guess, to kill everybody and
kill humans,
rid the earth of humanity.
So, and then I guess like there seems to be like the hierarchy of the dinosaurs. Like, obviously Tyrannus is like the head guy.
Yeah.
And then there's the Pterodactyl Man.
Yeah.
Who controls all the bats.
Yeah, Pterodactyl Man, who, like, you guys might recognize from the How to Play intro section of Rift Tracks, the game. They use the footage of the Pterodactyl Man in Attack of the Super Monsters for showing how the game works.
And then there's, do you remember anything? Because I don't remember anything about, like, the second adventure. I just know that
I remember that they fly around, like, bats. And they turn the ship.
Oh, they turn the very poorly, and they have like They have the buzz saws,
the saw blades on the wings.
And yeah, the saw blades, and they just like to just do just like flybys of Pterodactyl Man, and just like slowly just mutilate him.
Yeah, it's kind of horrific. From the kid in Pet Sematary.
But then we have to get to the third episode, which I think is the reason to watch Attack of the Super Monsters. Now, I get very very excited
the third
about it.
It's
the one we're about to talk about, Oliver Olang. So it starts off, and Jem is picking. Is that a laundromat? Or not a laundromat, a dry cleaner.
Yeah.
And she's talking to somebody. Well, what's his name? I think his name's like Mike or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
No.
Boy. Okay. So she's talking to boyfriend. Or she desperately wants this guy. She's like really taken like with this guy. And she's like, oh, I came back to get my blouse from dry cleaning. And he's there with like, I guess his sister, his little sister.
Yeah.
I would assume he was like hot single dad running the dry cleaner to sport his little girl. Nah. And that's why she's being like, oh, I'm ovulating. But that's not how it goes down. She's like, I'm here to pick up my blouse. And like, okay, here's the blouse. And she's like, this is the cleanest I've ever seen this blouse or something. But something causes them. It's like, there's something wrong with this blouse. And boyfriend man takes the blouse out, and it's like, oh, there's this giant hole, which I don't know why he didn't notice that there was this giant hole in this blouse
when he was packing it
and putting it in this plastic, and a rat appears.
Yeah.
And the little girl is like, I'm gonna get you, rat, and starts chasing it with like some kind of like big old paint brush from Mario Paint. Yeah. Like that's what it looked like to me. And she just like starts chasing him, and it cuts back, no explanation, back to the back to the headquarters, and she's talking about how be like, I can't believe this rat gnawed a hole in the back of my blouse. I am just so peeved. I'm a lady, and Jim is just like reading his paper and is being like, well, I can't believe you should have let your boyfriend. Made him pay for the damage, and Jem is like, well, everybody makes mistakes, Jim, you jerk. And they get into this big fight over this blouse. And the riff, and like, it goes on. It goes and on. This fight
way
over
longer than you would expect it to.
About first, I don't know why Jim cares so much. It's like, it's just who gives a shit? Okay. Like, and very correctly, like at the exact moment, Riftrax is very good at this. At the exact moment, we're all thinking, guys, Earth is under attack from dinosaurs that can control animals. And they're like, nope, blouse fights. So then they get a phone call from boyfriend man, from the dry cleaner, like, hey, have you seen my sister? And Jem is like, no, why? It's like, oh, he hasn't been back yet. It's like, he's been like, I just assumed she went with you. Like, why would she go with her? And like, back to their superhero hideout.
Yeah.
And then be like, oh no, well, she's lost then. And Jem's like, oh no, I have to go find this little girl. Like, okay, how are you going to do that? You're going to follow the rats? And so, and then we cut to the little girl still holding the Mario Paint thing, just like chasing. I'm going to get you, rat. I'm going to, like, she really wants to get this rat.
She's like two towns over at this point.
Yeah. And it goes down into like the sewer. She's like, sure, I'll go down there. Why not? And then she recruits these two schlubs who I guess had nothing better to do than to take orders from a little girl and go down into a sewer to chase a rat. And they find a stegosaurus these are words that I'm saying. They found a stegosaurus that can control the rats through the vibrating through the vibrations emanating from his armored plates. And that's the big thing. And so I think the rats kill the two guys that she recruits. And she gets up.
A lot of people die.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people die.
Like, just
a lot of people die. Lots of children. Lots of children die in this movie.
It kind of reminds me of Stone Cold, with just how many people die.
How many people just like.
Like, people you're just bad like, at this, guys. If you're letting all of these citizens just die,
just get wiped out.
You're not good heroes. They shouldn't. Well,
like,
should
I mean, like, how many
this.
More? Like, well, here, how many people? How many did more people die in Stone Cold than did in like Man of Steel, presumably, or like literally every episode of Power Rangers when like they just demolished the city?
Yeah,
but. Anyway, so getting back to because we got to get to the slap. That's what it's all building up to.
Yes.
And it's the rats overtake the little girl and just like kick her ass. I thought she was dead. And so Jem finds her somehow and picks her up like, oh, my gosh, little girl, what's wrong? And she's like, the rats. And so they go back to superhero headquarters and. Like, oh, yeah, the rats are, like, out of control or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
And so they go and they get into their, their thing.
Their super tank.
Their super tank, and they go to fight the rats or get their asses kicked by the rats. And they're like, we have to form Gemini. And Jem is like, no, I'm, like, too emotional. I can't. And Jem is like, She goes out to find, I think, either boyfriend man or little girl. And she gets up to leave. And Jem is like, no, you can't go. We have to form Gemini. And and she says, Jem says, you might be my brother, but I hate you. And then Jem just gets up. Pow.
Oh, my gosh.
There was some cop lights back there.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm a cop. Sweet. I was like, what is happening? No, I wasn't committing an act of domestic abuse, officer. I was just describing it.
Just acting.
I promise.
Camera.
Yeah. Anyway, I have to get my composure. I thought I was going to get a ticket for some reason. Can't imagine. But
that definitely would have been something interesting to happen on the podcast.
Oh, look, there it is again.
Are you sure they're not coming for you?
They're not coming for me. He's in his driveway.
Okay.
But yeah, so that was the culmination of that. I think they fight Stegosaurus Man. Obviously, they win. And then they go on to do something totally inconsequential in the next one. They fight a big T-Rex and whatever. And the thing just ends, like, no resolution to, like, there's no like overarching story. Like, I think that third one is like the most like beginning, middle, and end of a story that there is, and it's all about this stupid blouse fight between Jem and Jem. It's like the dumbest thing, and like the only reason that Jem was putting up with it because obviously she has the hots for this guy.
Yeah.
And Jem was talking smack about the man she loves. Like, how dare you? Like it was never stated, but I mean, come on. Give me a break.
Yeah. Yeah, the last one, they fight this other T-Rex and this Triceratops-ish dinosaur. And they use like a freeze ray. All of a sudden, they have a freeze ray that works pretty good on the T-Rex. And they're going to like fly through it with their little drill thing, and then the Triceratops monster stops them. And then they get like stuck and they can't move on the ground. And our Dingus and Dongus here. I already forgot their names. Jerry and Wally.
Jerry and Wally.
I think it's Jerry. Is that the one that decides he's going to sacrifice himself to fly their machine into the T-Rex? Or is it Wally? I think Wally's the one with the glasses.
Isn't one of them having an existential crisis? They're like, I don't do enough or something. Yeah. And so they were going to like kill themselves to like make their lives worth something.
Yeah. And he just ejects the other one out. He's like, not both of us.
Yeah. This would upset Gen Z very much.
Yeah.
Probably. All this talk about people not being worth anything would be like, no, everyone's worth something. LeVar Burton told me so.
But yeah, it's kind of an interesting end. Like he's trying to kamikaze into the dinosaur, and so Jem, I think at this point Jem is more in control of the ship, and Jem is more in control of the Gemini combined body, because Jem is like, I'm gonna give more energy so we can save him. And he's like, oh, but you might not be able to escape. And she's like, whatever. And they, like, boost the rockets extra, and flies up, catches the other ship gently on top, drops it off on the ground, and then flies through the T-Rex and the Triceratops guy. And then that's the end. Like, they're staying on a rooftop after that with the sunset, and that's it.
Yeah, there's no like, it's like, obviously it's not a movie. It's like I think we could be harder on it if it was. I mean, clearly it was just like a cheap thing to like make some, video cassettes, and sell them to, moms everywhere were tricked like, oh, my little boy loves dinosaurs. And it was a terrible, horrible thing to do to people. But I'm sure it created more weebs than it didn't, which it should go to the Hague for that.
Well, because this was released in 1984. I'm trying to see when Voltron started in the U.S.
Well, that's like 70s, isn't it?
When it aired in the U.S. That was 80. It was the same year. It was 1984. So okay. I don't know if they rushed it out to be like, oh, hey, Voltron's huge in America. Let's make it, make something else that people go, oh, look, that kind of looks like that Voltron show that my kids like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, because that's really the only like anime that we really had on the air in the United States at that point.
Well, now they're all over the place. Now you can't get people to shut the hell up about it. Anime and manga and all of garbage.
Oh, but actually, it's pronounced manga. No, I don't know. I'm just.
No. Oh, is it? Oh,
I don't know. Probably, but okay. I don't really care. Battle of the Planets.
I've never seen Spirited Away. I've never seen it. I know there's a thing with a mouth.
Yeah,
that's it.
So if you notice my non-reaction to that, because like I said, nothing that you can say you haven't seen anymore is going to actually surprise me.
Well, I mean, with Spirited Away, would that be something? Because didn't it come out in like 2000? I was already like 19 at that point. Citizen Yarn says she hasn't either.
Yeah, 2001 that was released.
Yeah. That's now considered a classic. Just like 9/11.
I mean, it's the same year, so.
It is, yeah.
Oliver hasn't seen it either.
Oh, wow. I bet somebody in chat has.
I mean, I've seen it.
Oh, well, you're not in chat, Jeremy.
Just like Glitter.
Glitter.
Yeah, I haven't seen Glitter. Nobody should see Glitter.
But they did a riff of it, Mike and Mary Jo.
Oh, that's right. They did.
We should do that. We should talk about it. Then you can finally see glitter.
Oh.
Oh, Rivia saw Spirited Away in the theater.
I that's better than me. I did not see it in the theater, but it was hilarious.
But
Dream of the Fireflies, yeah. That would scar anybody for life.
Tell you, Grave of the Fireflies, is that what
Grave
is that?
Of the Fireflies is an anime movie, and it's about two kids trying to survive during the war, and they don't. We'll just put it that
during
way.
During the war, as in World War II?
Yeah. And it's very depressing. It's very
Is there
depressing.
A bomb involved?
It's very depressing.
A little man or a fat boy?
It's just very sad, Dave.
Okay, I'm just going to assume that they got nuked. Okay, all right, cool.
Rivas says he's down for a glitter just the jokes discussion. Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Because
depends on
have,
if we have something new. We'll probably have something new this week since we didn't get anything.
Rivas, I don't know how long you've been listening to the podcast, but if you've been listening for more than a year, you might know that Jeremy and I have a terrible track record of following through with ideas that we come up with on the air.
Usually it's because
it's
we've
really
totally
bad.
Forgotten about it by the next episode.
Yeah. Like, how many times did we say, next week we're doing Jack the Giant Killer? That went on for like 3 months.
Yeah.
In 2021.
Forever. Rivas
because
has been
like,
listening
like
since
dangerous...
the beginning.
What?
Since the beginning. Holy cow. That's a very long time.
Look at my face. That's amazing. I think I want to kiss you on the mouth.
Oliver, we should cover the Golden Corral visit because it's...
I watched that. They looked like they were miserable. We can cover it right now if you want.
Yeah,
let's
Attack of the Super Monsters first.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, okay. This episode is going straight into the garbage. Yeah.
I don't think we really need to go through. Kind of, I mean, I don't know why we did it for Little Mermaid because half of this stuff we can't do on here. I don't think we need to go through all of our different points on this one because we really can't do over half of them.
No, can't do a lot of them. Yeah.
Let's. It's a great riff. If you guys haven't seen it.
Oh yeah,
definitely check it out.
I will say, personality gets full marks because I think this is, I don't know if it's top 10 because that's a bold statement, but it's definitely, I would say definitely top 20.
That's the other thing we need to do. We need to update our top lists because it's been a while. I mean, the last thing we did was our VOD draft, and that doesn't really count because. You know, we weren't allowed to get certain things like Psychotronic Man, but the Golden Corral visit that was something that if you supported the last Kickstarter, I think it was at the $75 level or higher, then you got it as part of your library.
I had it. I was surprised I had it. I thought I was gonna have to buy it. I was like, wait, did I buy this? And then they said this was a Kickstarter thing. I was like, oh, I completely forgot that.
Yeah.
But so I think they like went it's someplace it's like or some suburb of Minneapolis.
Yeah, somewhere around where they live in Minnesota.
And they very clearly were James Wenning this. Like like they were in there just like pirate style. I don't know how you. I don't know what you call that. Pirate style.
Guerrilla style.
Yeah, guerrilla style. Yeah. Just like filming it like with their phones. They were definitely all mic'd up because the sound was really good.
Yeah.
And you could tell by the end that they were all like looking like to the side, like they'd be like, oh look, there's a guy. And then Mike even said to be like, we want to do a full review because I think he's looking over. I think we're going to get like, and then Kevin said, maybe we should do it outside.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, wow, they were going to get kicked out. They were going to get thrown the hell out of Golden Corral. It looked so bad.
I mean, it's Golden Corral, Dave. There's a reason why they pick on it.
Okay. I'm not going to tell this story. It would just paint me in such a bad light. And maybe one day I would like to have a spouse. So I'm not going to tell this story. So
I went to Golden Corral one time with my family, and all of us hated it. It was a miserable experience. The place where they sat us was under a vent. And for some reason, it was just cranking out cold air the whole time. So, like, you'd sit down with your food, and within, like, 2 minutes, your entire plate would just be cold. Nothing would stay warm because of this cold air just gushing out at us. And it just, I mean, not that it was great to begin with, but that definitely did not help the experience. And we've never gone back. And I think it was it Bill that said this was his first ever like buffet of any kind that he had been to?
Really?
It was either Bill or Kevin. I don't remember exactly. I think it was Bill though. But there were definitely some very good moments in this when they were talking about salting your food and how Mike, his uncle, would just sit down. No matter the food, he would just start shaking the salt out. And then Bill just looks at him. He's like, Mike,
you have to eat that.
And Mike begrudgingly picked up the piece of pizza that he just put like half of a salt shaker worth on and took a bite. Like, that pizza couldn't have been good to begin with in the first place, because he said he wouldn't even try it.
So bad.
And
oh.
And then he took a bite with all that extra salt. Ugh, I can't even. Also, what's with their clam chowder having pork in it? I don't know if you noticed that when they showed the clam chowder thing. It has pork in it. What is that? Is that like a Minnesota thing?
You live closer to Minnesota than I do.
I know, and I've never heard of that before.
The cup? Are you talking about the cup bowl? Why not put the spoon and the bowl together?
Like, Kevin was just drinking it right out of it. That was a nice touch. And Mike talking about how the fish that they had did not come from a tin, which it's always nice to be reminded that Mike likes to make people eat gross things in the same way that I do.
Wow.
But yeah, this, if you didn't get it with the Kickstarter thing, it's like $5, I think.
Yeah.
For it's like a 15 minute little short journey through Golden Corral, where they got the marshed mallows, which was Mike's favorite kind of
mallows of marsh. Yes,
the marshed variety. It was a lot of fun seeing them suffer for our entertainment, as they do just with all the Rift Track stuff. But yeah, this was a whole different level.
Well. Except apparently they love Copper Mountain.
Oh, man. So, yeah, guys, check it out. Rift Tracks goes to... yes, be careful if I offer you food. We used to do before times, up until 2020, we used to do a YouTube series, not Dave and myself, but me and a couple of my friends, where we would eat weird snacks and make gross bottom shelf versions of cocktail recipes and stuff like that, and actually drink them on camera and eat this weird stuff on camera. And we had some bad times doing that. I think one of the worst was the preserved duck eggs that I found at the local Asian market. Do not recommend. Those were bad. But I don't just do it like casually. I don't just go up to somebody and be like, here, try this. But Yeah. Another full stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Full stop.
But Attack of the Super Monsters.
Should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Attack of the Super Monsters is good.
It's a lot of fun. So was this Rift Tracks Goes to Golden Corral. It was a good time. And they were miserable, but they were still having fun with it. And that's that's gonna wrap it up for us. I got nothing else to add to any of this.
Yeah, I'm good.
Hopefully we get something new to take a look at this week. Otherwise, maybe Glitter next week. No promises.
Yes, yes, yes. The emphasis on no in the no promises.
And who knows, maybe we'll eventually get back to doing more than one.
Yeah.
Tracks thing per episode like we used to do.
Like we used to, maybe. But, I mean, I think like the one episodes thing, man, it's just
well,
like.
Because the way we do it now. Back then, we used to edit. I used to chop up stuff. And
yeah.
And now it's just whatever we have live, that's what we get.
There was one day we talked about like all the Harry Potter movies. We talked about like four Harry Potter movies. Like one other thing, and like Rift Tracks Live, Amityville, whatever.
Yeah.
It was just like where we talked about just like so many movies. Like, okay, we have five movies we have to talk about. We have to get this going. But we don't do that anymore.
No.
Because, yeah. We can barely remember the one movie that we came here to talk about a lot of times.
I mean, some of them are just so brain meltingly bad.
Yeah.
It just escapes the instant we finish watching it.
Yeah. All right.
But if you guys enjoy the podcast, the best way to support us is to follow the Twitch channel. That way you'll know when we go live, which is usually every Tuesday, every other Tuesday, just depends. But it's on Tuesdays. It's always on Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But you'll get a notification whenever we go live if you follow us on Twitch. Otherwise, you can follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Also, if you go on Spotify, we do have a question for every episode. Basically, just asking your opinion on that Rift movie, of whatever it was that we discussed. So you can go over there and you can answer those. I don't even think you have to listen to the whole thing if you just want to go over there and answer some of the questions. Get a little bit of interaction going over that way. But you can find us on whatever platform you find your podcast. We're literally everywhere. You can follow the podcast on Twitter, formerly known as X, at @TheRiffCast.
And you can check me out on Amazon and Audible. I'm on X too, or Twitter as well. For right now, it's at @.infopublish for the time being, because I have attracted me and my big mouth attracted another psychopath that wants to destroy my life, and I'm not going to let him by letting him harvest a decade's worth of tweets and screenshotting it and taking things out of context because they're insane. Okay, not going to do that. So, yep. That is all I'm going to say about that.
All right, guys, we'll see you next Tuesday right here on the True Blue Riffcast.
Rock till you die.
Oh,